I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you Monday, April 26th. Seth Hughes joins us down in Alabama. Seth, it is the last Monday of April. How do you feel?
I feel great. How do you feel, John?
I feel good. April seems like it's going by pretty fast, but either way, we shall move on. We shall press forward.
Tremendous weather here today. I hope it is well in Knoxville.
Weather's great up here in Knoxville.
Good. Got a little cold last week. That sucks, but expect to be
a lot of people always use the same joke about how there's no spring in the South, but we've had a pretty good spring.
I disagree with that. Yeah, I disagree with that. Like, I don't feel like it really gets truly hot until like July. Like when it's like, and I feel like August is so much hotter than anything else. I feel like June is still pretty tolerable.
I'll say some years it feels like that, but this year's been nice. I don't want to jinx it. That's me knocking on wood. But it's been nice. It's been lovely.
It has been very, very nice this weekend.
Orange and white game, any thoughts?
I did not watch a single snap of it.
Okay.
I know that the Jansen guy caught a touchdown pass. From Harrison Bailey, I believe.
Whenever it happened, I assumed it was Walker Merrill just because I saw a white wide receiver, but it was not. It was, I guess, Jancic has another son there.
Okay, so
I assume it's
Jancic's son. Yeah, wouldn't play basketball, right?
Sure.
Wouldn't one on the basketball team?
I don't know. I know one was like a quarterback here for a little bit.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, so I saw that, you know, he caught a touchdown pass. I think it was from Harrison Bailey, but I'm not certain about that. And Danico Slaughter got thrown out of the game.
Gotta teach habits.
So,
you didn't see your boy Big Sed Tillman?
No, what did he do? What did Brother Cedric do?
He ended the game with a touchdown the last play, a 30-yard, really nice catch.
Who threw it? Maurer? Was that Maurer?
No, it was Hooker.
Oh, okay.
Hooker hit him 29 yards, maybe a little slightly overthrown. Like Tillman had to like kind of lay out for it. It was a really nice catch by him. Big Sed. We never gave up on him.
That's the beauty of having Brother Sed split out wide is you just have to throw it within like a 10-foot radius of his body. And he's coming down with the ball. I assume that Brother Warren Burrell played well because I got tagged in a post on the Football Channel, and people were talking to me about how Brother Warren was doing, so that's not really a surprise. It was a surprise to learn that Kenny George is still, in fact, on the team. I thought he was gone.
He might be our best defensive back. At least second best behind your brother Warren Burrell.
So you think he's better than Alante Taylor?
I mean, I don't know. I was just joking. I mean, Alante got burned by Big Sale on the last play, but there's nothing to hang your head about there.
That's just good practice for Alante. So yeah, that covers what I know. Shout out to this stupid damn football team that probably the two most important early enrollees on the offensive side got to practice a combined total of two times in Tyon Evans and Caden Salter. Just, it's always something with this stupid, stupid program. So, I guess Jabari Small is our starting running back.
Seems so.
So that's what I know.
Okay.
What were your thoughts about it?
I got none different, really. I mean, it's impossible to tell. It is what it is. You know, after the performance by the quarterbacks, we add another name. You know, Joe Milton officially makes it official.
I guess he's a yeah now instead of a nah.
He is a yah, yah, yah.
Welcome, Brother Joseph.
David Ubbin said he would be hard-pressed to bet against him to be the starting quarterback.
Really?
That's what Ubbin said.
I mean, okay. Okay.
Which, I mean, none of the three quarterbacks looked great. I mean, Bailey looked good, but he was running with the third string a lot, which tells you kind of what Josh Heupel thinks about him. Yeah. He was running with the third stringers.
Yeah. Who ran with the first string?
The first quarterback out there was Hooker. I don't really know if he was with the first team offense or not, though, to be honest.
Okay, so if I'm assuming that Hennon Hooker was out with the first team, Saturday, Joe Milton will be starting at quarterback this fall.
Yeah, Maurer looked awful. And like I said, Bailey looked good, but the fact he was with the third string and going against the third string defense didn't tell you a lot.
The only thing I have to say about Bailey is that maybe this delays his transfer some.
That's what I was thinking. He made some nice deep passes, which, I mean, maybe he got there and was like, hey, this offense actually is kind of fun.
That's about all I will say about Harrison Bailey. Maybe it delayed his leaving, which I think would be a good thing. Just because, you know.
And we don't gain anything by him transferring.
Yeah, we don't gain anything by him transferring. So, yeah. Yeah. I watched a lot of baseball. I watched all three baseball games. I did not watch the orange and white game. I watched the doubleheader instead.
Wise choice. Tennessee. Whew, man, that Saturday second game was pretty shitty.
So, yeah, I left the house in like the fifth or sixth inning. I left when we were up 4-1 or 5-1, whenever. And then like it was 4-2 and I didn't check my phone for like 30 minutes. And the next thing when I checked my phone, we were losing by one. And I was just like, what the hell? And then I watched the highlights when I got home, and they just did stupid stuff that second game. I mean, they didn't put A&M out of its misery. Like, it should have been a sweep.
Should have been.
Luckily, Florida also lost one game, so you're still above Florida. You're still ahead of Florida. But if you had swept them, you would have gained another game on Florida as well as gained one on Vandy. It really should have been a sweep. Texas A&M is terrible. And Tennessee was so much better than them in a way that they haven't been better than any of the other SEC series that they've had. It was so much better than A&M. A&M didn't even deserve to be on the same diamond as this Tennessee team. And Tennessee just fell asleep at the wheel and let them come back. A&M, literally, they had one guy. They had that big lefty, Frizzell. That was it. That was all they had. And they let them win game two. But they did win the series, so.
Sweep would have been cool. But at least you almost did again Sunday. You blew another lead.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just, you had the bases loaded with no outs that third game, and you got one run, and the next thing you know, you're down one. Luckily, Tennessee just kind of, I mean, the guys that, like, were hitting last year in the COVID-shortened season but hadn't been hitting this year at all are finally hitting. Lipsius and Pavloni are both starting to get really hot like they were last year when they were on fire, and then Evan Russell just continues to be unbelievable. I think Tennessee has hit 17 home runs the last two weekends.
That moon ball he hit in the ninth inning off of the...
Oh, man, cool. With the 3-0 counts.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they had some shots. They had some absolute lasers, and they had just some moonshots. So, yeah.
So, next up, Kentucky this weekend?
Yes, they're a little better than I thought they were. They're a little better than I thought, like, they were 2 or 3 weeks ago. They took 2 out of 3 from Alabama, took the doubleheader on Saturday to win the series. So, according to D1 Baseball, going into last weekend, Kentucky was one of the first 5 out, and Alabama was one of the last 4 in. I assume that those have swapped now. And so Tennessee is playing a NCAA tournament team, a team that's fighting for their NCAA tournament life.
And they're looking at us as an opportunity.
Yep, looking at us as an opportunity. On the other side, the teams that we beat continue to win. Georgia, LSU, and Florida all won their series, including LSU took 2 out of 3 at Ole Miss.
Where are we at in the rankings? Where do we go today?
We moved up to number 4th on D1. We moved up to number 4 on D1 baseball.
From 6th, I guess, last week, or where?
Yeah, 6. We passed Texas Tech lost a series to Baylor, and then Mississippi State lost their series to Vandy. So we jumped ahead of them. I assume State is at 5. It seems a little unfair to dock a team for losing a series on the road at Vandy.
Shit happens.
I hate it had to be Mississippi State, but it did.
Better them than us.
Yep. So Kentucky, then Missouri. Need to win 5 out of the next 6 SEC games. That's my goal.
Kentucky, then where? Missouri? Yep, 5 out of 6. Okay, 5 out of 6.
Missouri sucks.
Got to get a sweep there somewhere.
Need a sweep. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, good podcast. I'll talk to you later.
So, that's all I know.
I got nothing else on Tennessee athletics right now. You know, basketball, no news. Baseball, we wait and see. Wait till this weekend. Football, I mean, it's... I thought it was a nice weekend for Heupel. You know, I thought at least the offense showed some signs of life, but the defense is probably going to be shitty. Like, that's probably the reason why that happened. I did think it was smart of him to be like, hey, thanks for the fans that came. It was electric, instead of bitching and complaining like Jeremy Pruitt did his first year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he really just needs to be thankful that any... I mean, it's a testament that any fans showed up. I don't know how many fans showed up.
I have not seen an announced attendance. Maybe somebody in the Discord did. I did not see an announced attendance.
But the fact that there was one person there says a lot about UT football.
There was a line. I know there was a line before it opened up. I know we had a decent crowd at the event we did for the kickoff of it. Like, we had some people show out. I don't know, or show up. I don't know how many of them actually ended up going to the game or whatever, but it did seem like people at least took the chance of being inside kneeling.
Yeah.
And like you said, as long as one person came, that's more than they probably deserved.
I mean, it is. It's definitely more than they deserve. So I saw like one crowd shot, and the crowd was like more than I thought would be there, which isn't saying much. I'm not saying it was a good crowd. Like, I will say it was a very good crowd for this awful program. So, you know, maybe the offense will be, you know, maybe like it'll wake Harrison Bailey up to like, hey, you can actually have some fun in this offense because they get to throw deep balls. Maybe it'll just, maybe Milton is the guy. I don't know. Maybe they can at least be, I was thinking about this over the weekend. I just want this season to be entertaining. So if it could just be entertaining, like, if they could at least just have some fun on offense sometimes, that would be enough for me. Like, not as, like, some vote of confidence in Heupel, but just, like, it makes the 3 hours that I tune in quasi-enjoyable.
I think you better reevaluate and adjust your expectations for 3-hour games, buddy. All these games are taking at least 4 hours.
4 hours, whatever, whatever, whatever.
All these games are going to take 4 hours with as much scoring is going to happen and as many incomplete passes.
Did we run the ball at all?
I mean, I saw the quarterback scrambled a couple of times, and I saw, yeah, Small had a couple of decent runs.
I was just curious if we, like, ever actually hand the ball off.
A couple times.
So, yeah, I can't wait to see what Big Joe Milton does in this high-powered, potent offense that we have. Can't wait for this fall. Can't wait for that Pittsburgh game, buddy. Woo!
He obviously liked what he saw on Saturday.
Was he at the game?
I'm pretty sure people are saying he was in Knoxville and that he's been in Knoxville for a while, so I'm pretty sure he's at the game, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But he liked what he saw, because he couldn't wait any longer. He had to announce, hey, I'm off all.
I mean,
VFL.
Who can blame him? Who can blame him?
He saw Alvin Kamara walking around and said, I want to be a part of that.
The only big basketball news is my girl, Kim Mulkey, is in the SEC. My girl, Kim Mulkey, is back.
You nervous? LSU sleeping giant?
I mean, I wish nothing but Kim all the success in the world, except for when she's playing Kelly Harper. I'm excited. Think about how many times I get to watch Kim Mulkey on SEC Network this fall and this winter. My girl is back. My girl is going to take that jacket off and rage at the referees on an SEC court. So I'm very excited.
She might get SEC officiating fixed. She might be the hero we need to get the SEC officiating fixed. Just wait till she gets a bad call against Alabama and points out that the league where the league offices are.
It's pretty crazy that LSU, a women's basketball program that has had success for like 5 years total, was able to get a three-time national title winning coach in Tennessee.
That's what I was confused about, like how they afforded to get her away. Like, was she just like mad at Baylor? Did something happen with COVID? Did she just want to go? She's from Louisiana. Did she just want to go back there? Like,
well,
her son apparently played baseball.
Yeah,
there or something
I
like
assume
that.
She grew up an LSU fan. Like, her son played at LSU. She's from Louisiana. I assume she grew up an LSU fan. She played at La Tech, and won a national title there. But I assume she grew up an LSU fan. And then, I mean, I just don't think anybody has as much money as SEC teams do.
Sure.
And so they were just like, LSU was like, to hell with it. We'll do whatever it takes. I mean, it's a weird flex on LSU's part, but I guess if you have the money, like if I was an athletic director at an SEC school, like I would make sure that all these, like football is harder to control, but like sports like baseball and women's basketball and softball, those are entirely within your scope of control on whether or not you're successful. Because all you need is a good coach. Like these places don't have like the, you know, it's going to be tough to win basketball games at South Carolina, pretty much in general. But, you know, like, LSU women's basketball, why not build a power? Go hire whoever you can. I mean, so good for their athletic director. Good for their athletic director, athletic department. Glad Kim's in the SEC. I'm a little jealous of LSU. You know, but hey, we hired the coach from, like, Missouri State or whatever, so that's cool.
Whoa. Chill out, bro. Just because you love Kim doesn't mean you have to put down Kelly, okay?
Kelly's beautiful. Kelly's a fine-looking woman.
You can build your shrine to Kim Mulkey without building it off the back of...
That's true.
Sweet, dear Kelly Jolly.
That's true. You're right.
Too far. Any thoughts on the Oscars?
No. What won Best Picture?
Google it, I guess. If you don't care, I'm not going to waste my breath.
Oh, my bad.
Nomadland.
What were your thoughts on Nomadland?
I still haven't watched it. I was going to put it on the other night, but I think I'm going to watch it tonight. Basically, there's just one actress in it, and she's just traveling around meeting all these real people, but they have it like framed somehow as a part of a movie.
Oh, it's the Coen brothers' wife is in the movie. Is it a Coen brothers' movie?
No, it is not.
But okay.
Please put more respect on her name. Come on.
I mean, I just know because she's married to, like, somebody famous. I mean, I'm sure she's great or whatever. I'm just kidding. I know she's an amazing actor. I'm kidding.
Actress. She was great in Fargo. She was great in Three Billboards. Come on. All right, let's get to some patron questions then. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. New $5 patron, Caleb Souders.
Shout out to brother Caleb Souders. Thank you. We love you and we appreciate you very much.
We do love Brother Caleb. Seth, roll through some questions.
This is for you from Brother Marwan. Who do you want the Titans to draft in the first round on Thursday?
How do you know it's not to you? It doesn't address me. It could be to you. Who do you want the Titans to draft on Thursday?
I'm giving Marwan the benefit of the doubt that he doesn't want Titans takes from me.
He might. Who do you want them to draft?
I would like the Titans to draft a cornerback. Because y'all complain about the defensive backs all the time, and I know that they added pass rusher help.
Okay. Any cornerback in particular? The nerd from Northwestern, maybe?
I would prefer an SEC player.
Okay. So not a nerd from Northwestern?
Correct. After an SEC player, I will take an ACC player, provided he played cornerback at Virginia Tech or Clemson.
So you draft off schools.
No, I'm just like, Virginia Tech always has good cornerbacks, don't they? And then if
that's what I'm saying. You draft off schools. Yeah, you trust the Virginia Tech secondary.
I'm guessing that they have a good cornerback. I know nothing about cornerbacks.
They do. They have a guy that might be there for the Titans, Caleb Fairley.
Okay. Then I
won't. He was actually the first opt out last year, I believe.
Okay. Then draft Caleb Fairley. Don't draft the dude from Northwestern.
Okay. Maybe they're talking about getting maybe Ojulari from Georgia.
Okay, he was a monster last year.
Yeah, I think maybe he'll be there at 22.
Okay. Who would you like them to draft?
Either one of those is fun. I don't really care. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade it back a little bit, actually, but we'll see.
Ojulari looks like a monster last year. That seems like it'd be a really good pick. Seems like it'd be a really good pick. But
as long as it's an offensive lineman from Georgia.
Yeah. Are they going to address... Are they going to draft a right tackle? Are they going to...
They still need to, but I would say that would be a later round thing.
Because...
I'd say it'd be a mid-round thing. Just draft for depth rather than a starter.
Taylor Lewan will be back, right? Or how do you say his name?
He will be back. That is correct.
And he's left tackle. Who played right tackle last year? Dennis Kelly?
Yeah, at times.
Okay. I just know he...
Like Sam Borelli, too. We had a bunch of tackles. Our tackles kept getting hurt.
Man, you know who would be cool to have, though? And I know Marwan agrees with this. It'd be cool to have Jack Conklin. But I digress. Brother Jameson wants to know, who are the 49ers going to take? I think they would be dumb to take Mac Jones over either Fields or Lance.
They say that Shanahan wants Fields, or no, excuse me. They say that Shanahan wants Mac Jones and the front office wants Trey Lance. Like, it sounds as if Fields isn't even in the equation.
Hey, I got to be honest here. It seems crazy to me that you would draft either Mac Jones or Trey Lance over Justin Fields.
Like, I don't know if Shanahan has like a God complex here and thinks that he can win. Like, he prefers like Mac Jones because he's not special. And thinks that, like, hey, I'll make this guy, like, he can make the open throws and my offense is so great, I don't need anybody else. Like I don't know.
Like, I'm looking at this tweet from this John Daigle, who does fantasy football and betting at NBC Sports, and he said, this is a quote from Adam Schefter on NFL Live a little bit ago, "I think the 49ers view Trey Lance as the most intelligent quarterback in this draft." Okay, I have no issue with that. He might be. "And Mac Jones is the most athletic in the pocket, and that's how they'll make their decision?" Like, I don't think Mac Jones is some, like, unathletic dude. Like, I mean, I don't think he's a statue. I don't think that, like, he's, like, something to scoff at athletically, but, like, how do they think he's more athletic than Justin Fields?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that. Like, in the pocket, do you mean, like, he just has... Well, I mean, like, I'll say there are times when a quarterback is way more athletic in the pocket than you would think otherwise. Like, Tom Brady has really, really good footwork. Like, he is very, I would consider, athletic in the pocket. You don't want Tom Brady scrambling around. You don't want Tom Brady, like, you know, running. But he is good inside the pocket. Like, Aaron Rodgers, really athletic in the pocket. Now, I will say he's more athletic, and you can actually, like, get him out and run around. So, I do kind of understand what they're saying. I don't know how much he actually got tested at Alabama to see how just exactly flexible and athletic he was in the pocket. Because, again, played at Alabama.
Yeah.
But I understand what they're saying. I don't know if I agree or not, but I get what they're saying.
I have a lot of respect for Mac Jones because I think that most people that were... If they were him as a recruit, just a three-star that didn't have, like, any crazy big offers until Alabama came along, most of them would not have gone to Alabama, especially at quarterback. Like, they would have stayed committed to Kentucky where they knew they were going to get to play, blah, blah, blah. But he came to Alabama, and he ended up having an amazing year. It just seems crazy to me to draft him over Justin Fields. I thought, like, there were times last year where Justin Fields was really bad. On the flip side, we also saw times when Justin Fields was unbelievable over the course of 2 years, and it seems to me like his sample size is hurting him, whereas Mac Jones has such a small sample size, and he played on such a good team, one of the best teams ever. Like, of course he never looked bad. Now, Justin Fields had an amazing team, too, and should have never looked bad against a Big Ten team, but we saw what Justin Fields did against, like, Clemson when he had a broken rib. I have nothing to know. I don't know anything about Trey Lance.
I will just say, I mean, I know he's only played 17 games. It seems really crazy to me that the 49ers traded up to get Mac Jones. Like, that makes it even worse. Like, if they had taken him at 12, okay, cool. But they traded two first-round picks to get up there. Like, I don't know who else is going to draft Mac Jones at number 3. So, that just makes it even more confusing to me. We'll see. I'm excited for the draft on Thursday. Excited to see where... It seems as if Trey Smith kind of fell at least like the third round at best from the projections I've seen.
It seems crazy that they traded up to number 3 and didn't know exactly what they wanted.
Well, the first report was that they wanted Mac Jones, and I think people roasted him that, to the fact that they, like, you know, I guess started looking around, I guess, or at least like keeping their options open. But as soon as they made the trade, the first report was they really liked Mac Jones.
Okay.
Which, again, Shanahan makes it sound like, well, he just needs to be average. My offense is so great. Okay, bro. We'll see.
Brother Jonas, has your level of interest in UT football drifted in either direction following the orange and white game? If so, why?
Mine has stayed the same.
Yeah, mine has stayed completely on, like, neutral. Like, I'm not pressing the gas at all. I'm not reversing at all. Like, I'm just where I was last week when I did this podcast.
You're not asking for your season tickets donation back.
Correct.
Correct. You're just going to wait and see.
Just going to wait and see.
Same. I mean, I don't know how... I don't know how anyone's interest would go down following the orange and white game. I don't think, like I said, I thought it was a decent showing for Heupel. I could understand if maybe you were a little bit excited, like, oh, look at this offense, big plays, said Tillman. But, like, honestly, like, what we saw was pretty much what we all thought. Like, this team's going to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's going to try to scrape together 6 wins against the easiest schedule of my lifetime. Or at least since I've been cognitive, like, since, like, 97, 98.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Brother Chad, our very first patron, if you had to choose one profession that was illegal / black market, what would it be and why?
Name some professions on the black market. Because I think of just like sex trafficker, don't want to do that. I think of people that steal people's kidneys. Don't really want to do that either, although Nip Tuck kind of made it seem cool. Like, Urban Legend made it seem cool.
I don't want to be an organ harvester.
What about selling the organs, though? What if like, somebody else got it for you and I just got to, like, negotiate the price?
That seems, like, seems pretty bad. What about, like, running numbers? Is that illegal? Is that
cooking books?
Yeah. You know, that seems pretty cool, running some kind of racket. You know, that kind of seems kind of cool.
Being a money launderer. Have you ever watched Ozark?
I have not.
It doesn't seem that exciting or fun there, like the actual, like, cooking books of it.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, you just...
No, like, I mean, like, I guess in Ozark they have a bunch of crazy shit happening, but, like, when you actually think about, like, the money laundering side of it, it was probably pretty boring for Marty before things got real. I would say that would not be very fun, and you'd just constantly be stressed. But the pay would probably be pretty good, depending on who you were cooking the books for.
You know, Stringer Bell and The Wire looked like he was having fun when they would, they had that, like, Kinko's type store where they, like, printed posters for people.
That was so goofy.
I think he was having fun. That looked pretty cool.
I hated Stringer Bell.
Yeah, people do.
Look at me. I'm going to the community college.
I'm wearing glasses. I'm wearing glasses off the end of my nose.
I'm wearing glasses. I'm such an intellectual. I wouldn't mind being somebody's muscle. But as long as I had, like, somebody respected I was being the muscle for.
Yeah.
I don't guess I'm big enough, though. Or Italian enough. We can't be accountants, Seth. That can't be our goal.
Okay, we don't have to be.
What about gun runners?
Now that would be
like
cool.
Like Jonah Hill and War Dogs.
That would be cool. I think that would be cool. Like just running guns up and down interstates. Just like getting on I-65 and taking like a, you know, like a crate of AR-15s up to Nashville.
That'd be pretty cool.
I think it would be extremely cool. Getting in firefights with the ATF. And then when I shoot them, I tell them this is for what you did to David Koresh at Waco. I'm kidding. I'm kidding if any ATF agents are listening.
This was just comedic for the podcast.
Yeah, this is, yeah. I think being a gun runner would be cool, you know. Brother Jake, as I turn 29 tomorrow and I'm staring down the barrel of 30.
Smuggling cows from India to Bangladesh is a huge market, apparently.
Is that because cows are sacred?
I believe so. Which, I guess, gets me a little nervous at the fact that I would be disrespecting someone's religion. But they say that Muslims in Bangladesh eat beef. So they try to get the old cows out of India into Bangladesh so that people can eat them.
Because they don't eat them in India, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
It's a high-stakes market, too. You can buy a cow for around $100 in India and then turn around and sell it for $350 in Bangladesh. Damn, how are cows so cheap in India? Because there's no demand, I guess?
Probably, yeah. They're probably like
this can't be like accurate in terms of like, you know, like nice steers.
It is probably like so frowned upon to be in the cattle business in India that like nobody makes any money because like the social stigma of it is
like I said, I think I'd be good at it, but the idea of disrespecting someone's religion, you'd probably get in a lot of trouble. You know what I mean? They probably would not take, you know, kindly to you taking cows and...
Oh, I think they would take you out and beat your ass. They don't play in India.
Apparently, in 2017, Indian authorities found a 100-meter-long tunnel reaching from one side of the border to the other. So they were, like, taking them on an underground tunnel.
So the Indian version of Sicario is they go through the tunnel where they shuttle cattle through and then go...
Correct.
That's pretty wild, man. It's pretty wild. Brother Jake, as I turn 29 tomorrow and I'm staring down the barrel of 30, what's the best and worst thing about being in your 30s?
I mean, I feel like people respect you probably more at 30, you know, in your 30s. You don't get as many weird looks. The people at the bar or the liquor store, whenever you're like, hey, do you need me to take my ID out? They're like, nah, you're fine, bro.
Yeah.
You ain't got to like, take it actually out of your wallet. It's fine. I just got to look. So I guess that's nice. I feel like, you know, the older you get, the more money you're supposed to have. That'd be kind of cool, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I miss anything about the 30s?
No. I mean, I don't feel that much different than I was at 27 or, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, every day's a gift, Jake. When you look at it through that lens, then the number that is attached to your age, to your name, to you, doesn't really matter because every day is a gift and you're not worried about how old you are.
Yeah, my body's held up pretty well. I've tried to take better care of my body. I will say, like, get a couple more gray hairs, which save your bald jokes, but I've noticed, like, on the side, I get a couple more gray hairs.
Yeah, buddy, I got a lot of gray hairs and I've had them for a while.
Pubic hair getting gray as well. It's a little weird. I'd say dating in the 30s suck, which Jake has a wife, so he doesn't have to worry about that. Beautiful couple, him and her. He doesn't have to worry about that. Dating in the 30s hasn't been good. I don't like it, really. Another con would be, like, I feel like if you, like, want to change your profession, people are going to, like, think it's, like, a crisis. I feel like if you're in your 20s, you're like, hey, I'm going to try something different. Like, okay, cool, you're young, go for it. But now in your 30s, they're going to be like, oh, you're just unhappy. But you got the money to do it, which is cool, I guess.
That's true.
I don't know if I don't know if Jake has any kids or plans on having any kids or whatever, but I feel like those questions starts getting a little harder from your family the older you get.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start having some self-doubt, like I was thinking, Seth, like, you know, I'm basically a year younger right now than I was when, like, my dad had me, or not, you know, didn't have me, but, you know, had sex with my mother and got her pregnant. And I'm thinking, wow, okay, I feel like he was a pretty good age for most of my life. But now I'm like, oh, shit, I don't even really have any prospects for that, so I'm going to be like a couple years older than he was if I ever have kids. So that's a little nerve-wracking. That's a little nerve-wracking. You think about death more, Jake, when you get in your 30s. You think about death more. That's either a pro or con. You know, pro, like, hey, appreciate life. You know what I mean? Tomorrow's not promised. Con, oh, man, my ribs hurt a little bit. My back's a little sore. Am I having a heart attack? Oh, wait, I slept on my arm a little weird. Now my shoulder aches. Is it going numb? Am I about to have a stroke? Yep, those things. Those things aren't good, Jake. But everything else is fine. Everything else is good. Next question.
If we had a Mortal Kombat style tournament, which athletes would you put in it and who would win?
I mean, I feel like we talked about Aaron Donald on here, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we kind of already had that discussion. Like, Aaron Donald's going to be in it. I'd put James Johnson in it. The NBA player's like a black belt kickboxer. A badass. Got to put a woman in there. Which woman do we think can fight the best? Black Widow, probably, the pool player?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if she can actually fight or anything, and I might be like culturally appropriating her, or like putting her as a stereotype, but I think she already has a cool name. I guess she sounds like a Mortal Kombat character, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she does have
Black Widow. Give her a pool stick if you have to. Like, she could kick some ass with that. That's the thing about Mortal Kombat, is you can use weapons sometimes. Have you watched the new Mortal Kombat yet?
I have not. Have you?
Yeah, I did. I watched it Friday.
What did you think?
I mean, I just thought it was Mortal Kombat. A lot of fighting. I need to rewatch it probably. I got a little sidetracked at the climax of it. So I kind of looked up and was like, what the hell is happening? So I need to probably go back and rewatch the last 30 minutes. Any other athletes? You got to have like a villain on there. Who's the best sports villain? It's probably got to be a white guy. It's easier to hate white guys. Tyler Hero, could he be on there?
I didn't know he was that hated.
Yeah, people don't really like him. But he's got like the pretty boy like Johnny Cage look going. I don't know. I'm looking.
He is handsome.
Or Luke Cage. Is Luke Cage, right? Is it Luke Cage or Johnny Cage? Johnny Cage.
Who is Johnny Cage?
Johnny Cage, right? Is that right?
Luke Cage was like a Marvel dude.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. Johnny Cage was not in the Mortal Kombat movie.
Luke Cage is that huge jacked black dude. So,
I don't really have any other athletes for you. The mean ones. But you gotta match them up. Can't go all just big and scary. You gotta go like some agile. Some Asians. We got Aaron Donald. I mean, we already got him in there. Like I said, James Johnson, kind of the karate guy.
I feel like Bryce Harper would be a good villain.
Yeah, okay, maybe him instead of Tyler Hero. There we go. Good call. He's the Johnny Cage looking guy.
And he's pretty jacked. I mean, he could whip somebody's ass.
Okay.
But like I like Bryce Harper a lot. I didn't when he first came in, but I do now. I really appreciate his game.
I don't
game.
Know how many people actually like dislike him, but like he still looks like a good villain.
Yeah, people used to really, really hate him. But I really like him. I really like him.
Well, I mean, so. Even like in, yeah, like when he was younger, like getting in fights with other teams and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I did like, you know, whenever the fan was taunting him about Acuna and he's like mouthing to him, it's Acuna. It's an Acuna, not Acuna. Good submission with Bryce Harper. Good submission.
Brother Jackie, a.k.a. the Law Dog. Over under 2.5 years for Josh Heupel. I say 3, so over.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's easily a scenario where 2 years is over. That could easily happen.
Yes. You have convinced me that it could be done after 2.
I don't think it will be, but I'm just saying it could get ugly. Like, it could get ugly. If Tennessee wins 4 or 5 games this year and you have the 12th ranked recruiting class and you win 5 games the next year and the fans are just completely checked out and he's in over his head, it's very possible that it could be over in 2 years, especially like if the sanctions are over and, you know, some more SEC monies came in and blah, blah, blah. It's very, very possible. But I'll go over as well. Get hype.
Yep. So, yeah, 3 years for me. Brother Brizzy, what happens first? Josh Heupel's fired or Slim, a.k.a. Diesel, puts together his kids' playground? I don't know, but one thing that's not going to happen first is Slim checking the damn guide on his TV. Every weekend, Tennessee plays an SEC baseball series. And every weekend, what channel is it on? What's the score? What channel is it on? I have golf on SEC Network. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. You have an SEC Network alternate. You also have... I asked him 2 weeks ago, I said, do you have the ESPN app? You can check the score. And he said, yeah, but my daughter's crying. Well, you got time to post on Discord, Diesel. Check the damn score. I am not Google. There are like 3 of us that are extremely active in Vol baseball. We are not Google.
You guys are pretty good at giving the score, though, I'll be honest.
Yeah, we are. We are. But it happened 2 weekends in a row. It happened 2 weekends in a row. SEC Network alternate. Or UT Baseball, they have a Twitter account. You follow them because I saw you quote tweet them on Saturday. See what they're saying, Diesel. And put your damn kids' playground together. Brother Hibbs, no question. Just want to shout out Brother John and his impressive runs. He has been posting on Instagram. We love to see him getting back in peak Bachelor shape. We do love to see you getting in peak physical condition.
5 miles last night, Seth. Did you see that?
That's impressive, John. That's a long damn way.
Under 55 minutes, too, so under an 11-minute average, which I got to get a little bit faster, but 5 miles, man, it's the longest run I've been on in a long time.
That's good. That's a good average. Period. That's a long damn way to run 11-minute miles.
I was in the zone. I hit that runner's high. I probably could have kept going, but I was like, ah, that's enough. Don't want to get hurt. It's the longest I've ran since eighth grade, when I ran to see a girl in the middle of the night.
That's really good.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Brother Ryan H.
Thanks, Hibbs, by the way. Thank you, Hibbs. I appreciate that.
Yeah, shout out to Hibbs. Cheers and joy.
See John Reed on Instagram. That's the name. Get my followers up.
My sister.
Shout out to Will Warren, by the way, for running his half marathon.
Yeah, shout out to Brother Will in Louisville, Kentucky. Ran a half marathon. Broke the Southeastern record for a half marathon, if I remember
many
correctly.
Many are saying. Especially for basketball bloggers.
So he could absolutely whip Ken Pomeroy's ass in a half marathon. In a half marathon, he could whip Ken's ass.
Probably a fight, too.
Probably a fight.
I don't see Myron Metcalf out there running
marathons. You don't. You do see William Warren.
Crushing it, too, under 2 hours.
That's fast, man.
It's really fast. It's really fast. All right, give me a couple more questions. What do you got?
Brother Ryan H., would you dismantle the baseball program for 3 guaranteed wins against Alabama and football for the remainder of your life? Brother Ryan, I am 30 years old and I'm from Alabama. There is nothing more that I want than to beat Alabama in football, but I only get 3?
Not even in a row either, just the rest of your life.
Like, I could be incontinent when those 3 happen. And if I can't even go to the restroom by myself, I'm not going to care whether or not my beloved alma mater is beating Alabama football. It's got to be more than 3.
What if I gave you 5 and you got to pick which ones you want?
I want more than 5.
Yeah, these are guaranteed, though. You might still win more, but these are guaranteed.
5's not enough. I don't care that I get to pick them or not.
I just didn't know if there was like a, hey, Tennessee, like just for instance, 2016, boom, top 10 team. You could lock in that win. SEC championship.
By the grace of God, I will be here in 50 years at 80 years old. I'll be on this podcast with John 50 years from now.
Yeah, we'll still be.
And that's saying we beat them once every 10 years. No, I need more. Okay. I need more.
To answer your question, Ryan H., no, he needs more.
I need more, Brother Ryan. Brother Hibbs,
right,
again?
Last one. Give me one more.
Actually, we'll go with Brother David. How many baseball national championships would it take for you to trade for a football championship? I would trade 1 football championship for like 20 baseball championships. Like if I had 20 baseball, I would trade them in for 1 football.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. It would be fun to watch us win those, though. Think about how much fun it would be watching us win those.
I mean, I have a lot of fun watching this baseball team.
Starting
I even
the regional, the super regional, and then boom, you're in Omaha, you're kicking ass. We're sitting there next to Brother Mitchell, who's got his seats behind the dugout or behind a home plate already for Omaha, and we're just hugging and going wild, and we become a power. Think about how mad Vandy would be.
Yeah. And LSU, too.
Yeah. And Ole Miss and Arkansas.
I mean, I'm not saying it's smart. I'm not saying it's a smart thing to do.
It's just who you are. I understand.
It seems like the smart play would be for Tennessee to find a non-football sport that we actually care about to become an absolute power at. But unfortunately, LSU hired Kim Mulkey in women's basketball, and I love UT football. So I'm going with 20.
We got to squeeze one more question here because we love the troops. Mason Taylor, a troop who we love. He wants to know what's the most secondhand embarrassment you've ever felt for someone.
I don't know. I need like
I'm cringing just thinking about this question.
All right, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just thinking. I hate secondhand embarrassment.
I do too. It's awful.
It's always the worst when people think they're talented at something and they're not.
Yeah.
Like someone singing and not being good at it. That's always embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's the worst. I still think back to grade school where this girl raised her hand and had underarm hair fall out, like she hadn't shaved her underarms yet. Mm-hmm. Everyone saw, and I just felt so bad for her. I still think about that from time to time.
Yeah.
That was really embarrassing for her.
That sucks, man. That's rough.
Yeah. That's like, I felt bad. Really embarrassed for Jason Tatum when he got blocked at the rim last year versus Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
Just absolutely stonewalled and, you know, ruined the last chance for the Celtics to go to the finals anytime soon.
Yeah. And I remember talking to you about how bad you felt for Jason.
Yeah, I just didn't eat. Secondhand embarrassment. Like, Garantano this weekend throwing an interception on his first pass in the spring game, that was embarrassing, too.
I mean, what can you even say, man? Like, what is there even to say?
Leave the kid alone on the internet. Don't tweet about it. Just leave him alone.
Yeah, like, Tennessee fans look bad when they, like, tweet about it or whatever. Just leave him alone. Like, ha, 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 look at him. So glad we don't have him. Well, man, okay. Like, he has been through enough.
Just think about that pass to Juwan Jennings in 2019 against South Carolina. Just think about that one when he got absolutely demolished.
Yeah, or him, like, breaking down in tears after the Missouri game when we won. I mean, like, the dude, like, I'm not, like, he loved Tennessee, okay? Like, you would have to love this university to do what he did.
Think about the quarterback sneak against Alabama. Oh, no, wait, don't do that. Don't think about that one.
Yeah, don't think about that one. But, you know, he has been through enough. So.
All right, Seth, that's all I got for you.
That's all I got. I love you, my brother.
Huge two wins this weekend for my Hawks, by the way.
Yes.
Beat the Heat and the Bucks without Trae Young.
Without Trae Young.
One game without Clint Capella as well. No big deal. Not to brag. Three Clint games Capella. Up over the Heat and the Celtics since we got the tiebreaker over both. Love to see it. Maybe me and you can go to the Highlight Factory, the State Farm Arena, for a playoff game together.
I would love that. I would love that. It would be a lot better than we went to watch Blaine Gabbert try to beat Andrew Luck and go to the playoffs.
I felt a lot of secondhand embarrassment there, too, and a lot of firsthand embarrassment.
Remember those dudes that were dressed like Spartans beside us?
They did not like us, did they?
No, they did not. They did not. But yeah, go Hawks.
You spilled something all over your hands, too.
Yeah, and I had to pour water out of a water bottle over my hands so they wouldn't
and
be
they
sticky.
And they looked at you like you were the weirdest person in the world.
Well, they got a point. I got a point. I just don't like being sticky.
I think it was perfectly fine, although I would usually like use the side of the bottle before I like, actually pour on it. But either way, it works.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
I love you. I'll talk to you later. Let's keep this baseball train rolling, and let's get hyped for football.
Woo! I love you, brother. I'll talk to you later.
See you, bye.
I dream in color, and I sleep on a canvas. I think we all need each other. Empathy, that could be our advantage. Bad bitch speak Creole and Spanish. She looked this way, then I'm liking my chances. Oh man, why I go on these tangents? Bird's eye view, this shit panoramic. Still firing off my paranoia. Shit too real, just fire my lawyer. Trust issues, I'm needing to fix it. That could be an empire destroyer. You seen what happened to Julius Caesar. Stevie Wonder told me you were a leader. My girl had forfeit a tennis match to meet my grandmama. Man, she truly a keeper.
I don't know why the blessing's coming. Rich as hell, won't stress over nothing. I don't listen to the public opinion. Their portrayal, it is just an assumption. And I don't really know what a nigga been fighting for, but I'm fighting for it. And every song that I record be saving lives, I'm typing for it. If I shoot my shot, wish, Michael Jordan. And if I get it live, it came from the microcord.
Hold on, maybe that's the difference from other niggas making bad decisions. Good music that attract the business. My last album was a fucking classic. You can listen to that shit from start to finish. Got good intentions and my heart relentless. Drive a Honda Civic with the windows tinted. Plus a Lamb truck, but that shit was rented. Never no pretending, let's be transparent. I learned that shit from my grandparents. I've been meditating, trying to gain clearance. But this life shit is incoherent as a bitch. Wonder why I'm so daring with the shit. Single mom, no co-parents in this bitch. Used to walk to the library for the Wi-Fi. It was like four Karens and that bitch. But what's your purpose? What's your motives? What's your dreams? What's your goals? Is are your thoughts pure? Are you focused? That's a real nigga diagnosis. Are your friends real or they bogus? Are they by your side at your lowest? Though I'm not so easily broken, but at times I feel hopeless.
I don't know why the blessing's coming. rich as hell, won't stress over nothing. I don't listen to the public opinion. Their portrayal, it is just an assumption. And I don't really know what a nigga been fighting for, but I'm fighting for it. And every song that I record be saving lives, I'm typing button. If I shoot my shot, switch, Michael Jordan. And if I get a lie, it came from the microcorder.